And this evangelist, see, that's what he was, evangelist, and he was a farmer before God called him to preach. And he said he would be out in the fields and holding his hand around, walking around, planting seeds and all the things he did as a farmer. And people would drive by and see his hand upstretched. And they would ask him, "Why do you walk around out in your fields with your arms up?" He said, "Well, before I got saved, I didn't even pay much attention to God. But now I know who holds my hand." And so he just leads me everywhere I go now. So such a powerful man of God. He was in his 80s and still preaching revivals. So he was on fire for God. Thank you, Steve, for that beautiful song. Thank you. All right, this morning we're going to be looking at dwelling in Jesus' love. And our scripture reading this morning is taken from John chapter 15. I'll be reading 7 through 11. And this is a wonderful passage of scripture to read. I love John chapter 14 because it tells us, let not your heart be troubled, you believe in God, and have peace. And in verse 27, "I give you peace not as the world gives, but I give you my peace." And here we're talking about the joy of the Lord and the love, and he's talking about the word as well. So this morning we're going to be dwelling in the word, dwelling in Jesus's love, and dwelling in the abundant joy. And if you notice the scripture reading this morning that Diane read, it's talking about the joy of one lost sinner being saved, that the angels in heaven are rejoicing. So that's in Luke chapter 15, I believe verse 14. So when you look at the scriptures, it gives us complete direction in our lives. And if our joy is going to be totally complete, then we have to dwell in God's word. We have to live in Jesus's love and share Jesus's love, and then we will have that abundant joy that Jesus talks about. So these scriptures this morning I'll be reading are from Jesus' words himself that he spoke, so that we would know. Okay, and we wouldn't have to guess what we need to do in our daily lives. So follow along with me. I'll go ahead and read this because I don't have those up there, but I'll read them and I'll share them one by one here in a few minutes. If you have your Bibles, just follow along with me. "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you." Now, I like that, don't you? Whatever you ask. Now, whatever we ask, it needs to be within the will of God. It don't need to be something that, this is what I want, this is what I desire. No, it's whatever we wish within God's will, and it will be done. Now, that's a promise. So sometimes people take some of these scriptures out of context and use it for their own reasons. And I've had so many in the past come to me, I believe the Bible and the scriptures, and I read this verse, but I prayed and prayed and prayed. It doesn't happen that way. I said, "Well, how was you praying?" And then they told me, I said, "Well, you left out God's will. It's not your will, it's God's will." So it's important for us to remember. And then in verse 8, "My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." So disciples produce or bear fruit. That's what we do as Christians. We do exactly what verse 8 says. And then in verse 9, "Just as a father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love." Jesus loves us, So we are to abide in His love. We are to dwell within His arms, you know, because we know who holds tomorrow, who holds our hand. All right. And then in verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. And that's one thing Jesus did. He did obey. He did keep the Father's commandments. He shared them and practiced those himself as an example of what we are to do. And then verse 11, these things I have spoken to you so that my joy, okay? Our joy is not enough, right? We need His joy. And if we have His joy, then our joy is going to be what? Full. My joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. So we can only be made full through Jesus' love and His joy. So, as we look at this scripture this morning, you know, we've learned that fruit bearing is a byproduct of abiding in Christ. For Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Is that correct? We can't do anything apart from Christ. You know, we may try, and we might try to accomplish some things on our own, but apart from Christ, we are not going to be successful in our spiritual life, and even in the physical and emotional life, because, you know, He wants to be in our life. He wants to lead our life. He wants to be a part of everything that we do. Just not some of it, but all of it. And if we abide or dwell in His Word, if we abide and dwell in His love, then we're going to have that abundant joy that these scriptures I'm talking about this morning will give us fulfillment in our life. So having an inner relationship with Jesus as a branch is nourished on a tree, is strengthened by the vine. And if you begin reading in verse 1, talking about the vine dresser and the vine and the branches, that's what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about the Father and the Son connected to one another. We as the branches are connected to the Father and the Son, and the Holy Spirit is a part of this as well, because the Holy Spirit is what runs through the vine into the branches, which is us, and that's why we are possible. It is possible for us to do the things that God has called us to do. And that's why Jesus said, apart from me, if you separate yourself from me, or if you your branches are broken off, or you do something to separate our relationship, then it's impossible for you to abide in me. So that's making it, if you look at farmers and those who deal with fruit trees or any trees or anything, you know, they have to be nourished. And the energy of the nourishment of the vines has to come from the main vine. And so is our life with Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father. Now, fruitfulness, if you look in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and verse 23, it will be the inevitable outcome of the inner spiritual life with Jesus. Those are the nine fruit of the Spirit. And those are the ones we are to abide in as well and dwell in Jesus's, and we will be able to produce or bear the fruit of the Spirit in our life. And the last one of those fruit of the Spirit is what? Self-control. What is the first one? Love, joy, peace, and on down the line. So when all of these are very essential for the Christian to bear that kind of fruit, And it goes along, Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23 goes along with John chapter 15 as the vine dresser and the vine being Jesus and us as the branches, and we can bear much fruit. So Jesus concludes actually the metaphor of the vine and the branches in these verses here by drawing out some of the results that come from, and I would say, remaining or abiding in Him. I mean, He was speaking to His disciples. He said, you know, if you want to continue to experience the goodness and the greatness of My love, keep abiding in Me. And they experienced that. A lot of times the disciple was trying to remove sicknesses or provide healing or some sort of miracles in people's life as God gave them the power to do. But sometimes they didn't pray. They tried to do it on their own or on their past successes and so forth. And people would come to Jesus and say, you know, can you help me? Your disciples can't help me. And then He'd say, oh, ye a little faith, you must pray before you do anything. Because apart from Me, it's impossible to do anything. So that's the same with us as well. So let's look at dwelling in the Word. Dwelling in the Word is very important for a Christian. You must be in the Word. I must be in the Word. If I'm not in the Word, I wouldn't be standing here and sharing the Word with you because I wouldn't know what to say. But what I say is empowered by the Holy Spirit as I pray and I study and I meditate and I reflect on the goodness of God in my life. And He tells us what to say and what to deliver as we depend upon Him. And I would not be standing here if we don't dwell in the Word. We have to be in the Word because this is our spiritual nourishment. I mean, we're being fed by God's Word. We're being spiritually fed by the revelation that God gave us through His Word that we might abide in Him. Now, did you know that prayer bears fruit? Think about it. When you pray, your prayers bear fruit. And that would be another title I could give this, dwelling in the Word, and prayer bears fruit. Because prayer, God is interceding in our behalf in order for whoever we're praying for might feel the Spirit working, and it's in God's will as we pray, but not the words that we say, but it's God working through the words that we say and the power that He has through prayer to make things happen. And God can make anything happen. He will make things happen. But He wants us to be involved and be a part of what's going on in the life of every one of us and those who we pray for and the things that we pray for. So it's important that we be in the Word, and prayer that bears fruit will be inedible to everyone who prays and receives God's love. So in verse 7, now compares remaining in Jesus with remaining in His Word. Okay, let me say that again. Verse 7 compares remaining in Jesus with remaining in the Word. Jesus is the Word. From the very beginning, John 1, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was Jesus. Jesus has always been, always will be. And as John talks about, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with who? God. So God has always existed. Jesus always existed. And then God sent him into this world to be in the flesh among us, that we might dwell in him, be a part of him, and abide in him, abide in his love. So effective prayer is based on faith in Christ and on his words remaining in believers. Believers like you and I. So, and I don't want us to overlook the importance of the reference to my words right there. Don't overlook the importance of the reference that we find right here in verse 7. If you look at it, it said, if you abide in me and my what? My words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. So that's important for us to know that. Now, Christ's words develop and direct believers' minds so that their prayers conform to the Father's will. See, that's what I was talking about a while ago. It's the Father's will, not our will, but consciously the Holy Spirit will lead us in praying within God's will. You know, we pray, we leave it up to God. No, it's our responsibility to pray. It's our responsibility to be in God's Word, that he might be able to speak to us through the Word, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and as we abide and dwell in him. So since their prayers, believers' prayers, are in accord with God's will, the results are certain. It will be given to you, what the Scripture says. And it also says that in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. It was said, whatever you ask in the Father's name, it will be given to you. So what John is saying here in John chapter 15, he says also in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. And verse 13 says, you may know that you have eternal life through Jesus Christ, my Lord. And then he goes on and says, then whatever you ask, believing, it does say that, whatever you ask and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, it will be given to you. And that is a promise, according to God's will, okay? So those who live in harmony with Jesus find their prayers controlled by his word, and such prayers will be answered and be added to the glory of God. Now, that's what verse 7, the latter part of verse 7 says. And then chapter 14 of John, verses 10 and 12 also connect in telling us about being answered and be added to the glory of God. See, God gets the glory. Amen. In our prayers, whatever we do, we're abiding and dwelling in him, and we give ourselves to him, then he gets the glory. See, I want him to get the glory, not us, not me. He gets the glory because he deserves it. He's everything. He is everything, and he wants us to be everything in him. So, now looking at verse 8. In verse 8, Jesus teaches us the proof of discipleship in spiritual fruitfulness. Okay? Also, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 20, talks about this as well. Matthew jumped in there and talked about the fruits of the Spirit as well. And verse 8 says, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. So we prove ourselves to be disciples as we bear fruit for the Lord. And then he is glorified in that. So we want to glorify. We want to make the Lord glad that we are his disciples, that we believe in him. Now, going back to the branches, who we are the branches, okay? The branches produce what the life coursing through its limbs empowers, which is the fruit of the vine. Fruit of the vine. Now, many years ago, where we live now, Brenda and I like all kinds of fruit trees and grapes, and well, I think we got about everything. We even got a mulberry tree. So, and it's really producing this year. They really look good. So, you know, in last year, Brenda said, I think it's time to prune these trees back, the apple tree and the cherry tree and the pear tree and everything. So I trimmed them back. And guess what? This year, I mean, we got abundance of peaches and pears. And I don't want my apple tree. I got to have a talk with it. But it's not doing very well. I don't know if I got to plant another one beside it or what. It needs a cousin or something, but that's the only thing that doesn't bear fruit very well. It kind of reminds me of sometimes what we don't do, right? We're not abiding in the vine. We're not going to bear fruit. So the fruit the Father is looking for is what? Is it physical? No, it is spiritual. It is spiritual. That's the kind of fruit he's looking for. The Lord Jesus is looking for more than just what I would say leaves. He wanted fruit. And of course, leaves come on the trees, you get the blooms and leaves and things, but he's wanting the fruit. That's what's important to the Lord. And when there is fruit, that means there is God's goodness and his mercy and his grace that extends to us. Okay. Now, let's look at dwelling in Jesus' love. Dwelling in Jesus' love. Okay? So in verses 9 and 10, this talks about Jesus' love. See, Jesus turns from the obligation of his disciples to abide in his word to amazing his love for them. His love for them. So in verse 9, he tells them to abide in his love for them. Abide in my love. That's what Jesus said. Look at verse 9. He tells them to abide in his love, okay? Just as the Father has loved me, the Father, the Heavenly Father, has loved his Son, Jesus Christ. Because John 3:16, for God so loved the world. So God so loved his Son. For God so loved us. We are part of the world. So we are included in God's love. I have also loved you. Abide in my love. Stay in my love is what Jesus is saying. When you stay in my love, you have that connection. You have that relationship and fellowship that you need in order for you to bear fruit. Now, Jesus declares that he loves us exactly like the Father loved him. And Jesus was motivated to remain faithful because of God's love. Now, that should motivate us to be faithful, because when I was young and being raised by my parents, I know I was loved. So I was to abide in their love and be faithful and do what they told me to do. And that's what Christ is comparing this to here. I'll abide in my Father because he loves me. And I don't want to disappoint him. So I'm going to be in obedient in every area of my life. And Jesus was, wasn't he? And should we be obedient in our lives every way that Jesus did to his heavenly Father? Now, also, it says, Jesus loves you. The song says that, doesn't it? Jesus loves me, this I know, because the Bible tells me so. And also, the Bible does tell us so, that Jesus loves us. And we need to tell other people Jesus loves them. Reminds me of a story of a little child that had disobedience problems in his life. And he had went to school, and this substitute teacher was having a hard time with him. He wouldn't listen to her, wouldn't do what she told him to do, and so forth. And finally, she just stopped and leaned over and whispered in his ear, Jesus loves you. And you know, from that time forward, she had no problems. It's like flipped on a switch, and it changed his whole countenance and his attitude, because he had not heard that before. And he had heard about Jesus, but he didn't know about his love. So it makes a difference when we know about the love of Jesus. It makes a difference that knowing that we are being loved by Jesus. And it says, if you keep my commandments, love and joy, if you keep my commandments, one more. Here we go. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in him. So, remain in my love might seem to be mystical, but Jesus makes it the demonstration of love for him very concrete right here in verse 10. So those that love Jesus, they keep his commandments. Once again, Jesus appeals to his own example. He gives his own example because he was obedient. And obedience to the Father's command is the same for a disciple as it was for Jesus, the Son. So active dependence and loving obedience are proper paths of God's children. All right. Lastly, dwelling in the abundant joy. Quickly. As you abide in Christ and become spiritually faithful and natural results of joy, as 11 indicates, verse 11 says, these things have I spoken to you that my joy may be in you and your joy may be made full. So if you want your joy to be full, this verse tells you how to do it. Now, the peace that's promised in chapter 14, verse 27, I mentioned earlier, where it said, I give peace, not as the world, but my peace I give you. And that's the peace that we can find when we abide in him. And and this enhances our joy when we do that. So if verse 10 indicates joy is a byproduct of the obedience to Jesus. So if we obey Jesus, we're going to have joy. When we disobey Jesus, we're not going to have joy. We're going to have shame or regretfulness or something in our lives. We're not going to have that peace or experience that peace. But being obedient to Jesus and abiding in him as Jesus abided in the Father, then there is full joy. Not only full, but abundance. I mean, many, many, many fruit, more fruit that we will bear for the Lord. So that's important that we see that. See, Jesus is there that my joy may be in you. That's Jesus' desire. That his joy, my joy may be in you. Jesus' joy. So the joy is supernatural. It's the gift of Jesus dwelling within and our living and walking in the Spirit. Even Paul says, walk in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit daily. When we're walking in the Spirit, you'll know it. If you're not walking in the Spirit, you'll know it too. But walking in the Spirit is just like smiling. It's easy. But when we don't, we have to work at it. Work real hard at it. Now, the joy is the flag flown high from the heart where King Jesus reigns. That is joy. That is real, real joy. And then as we come to conclusion, this scripture tells us what we need to do. Dwelling in Christ means living in his words. Living in the word leads to communion with Christ, which will make us fruitful. And as the scripture says, prove that we are disciples of Jesus. That'll prove it. I mean, no shadow of doubt about it. And then, love of Christ leads to obedience to Christ. Love of Christ leads to obedience to Christ. And this love, this type of love, the love of Christ, unites and it strengthens the relationship to Jesus. And it has, as his disciples, it increases our fruit-bearing experience in life. Now, there's two of the results that stem from the abiding relationship with Jesus, and they are fruit and joy. Remember that, fruit and joy. Those are the things as we abide in Christ will take place in the believer. That's you and me and everyone who belongs to Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus wants you and me to be fruitful disciples for him. He wants us to be. We should want to be, every one of us. And what a precious obligation that is, responsibility. And if so, if we do that, we will be joyful disciples for him. We will. Think about that. We will be joyful if we do that, if we're fruitful for him. See, Jesus had joy. And we can have joy when we abide in the Father and in the Son and the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you this morning for your word. And you tell us to dwell in your word so we'll have knowledge of you and we can turn that knowledge into wisdom and apply it in our lives. And Lord, we are to dwell in your love. Dwelling in your love means that we love you most of all, and we're obedient to you, and then that automatically leads us to love one another. And then when we abide in your word and we abide in your love, then that helps us to have abundant joy. Lord, I thank you this morning for the message that you have given us through your word. And Lord, I pray that each one of us will search our hearts and see if that abiding applies to us. If it doesn't, then when All we got to do, James chapter 1, verse 5 says, if we lack wisdom, then you will give it to us if we ask for it. And then we'll know how to bear fruit, more fruit and much fruit. Lord, I thank you for each one here today. And I thank you for those who are listening. Every area of our life needs to be the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, 22 and verse 23. And when we are able and when we succeed in doing each one of those, the fruit of the Spirit, then we will have that abundant joy you're talking about. Because we are dwelling and abiding in you, your word, in Jesus' love, and the joy that comes from all of that. Anyone here today that doesn't know you as their Savior, Lord, I pray through the wooing of your Holy Spirit, speaking to each one of us individually, would take that step, come forward, and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Lord, whatever the decisions are here today, church membership, walking closer with you, renewing their life, we can do all of that today. That's what this altar is for. You will meet us here. Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for your invitation that you give us every day, every moment to come to you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. As we